This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Welcome to the hottest podcast in Prim Springs. It's the Trim Healthy Podcast. Hey, gals.
We're so hot because of our hot backgrounds. Is that why?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the budget is clear in this building. It's like, hey, guys, we got 10 bucks. And we want you to really knock the set out of the park.
Exactly.
You know, we spent $40 million on the recording gear, so we got 10 bucks left on the set. Hey, I want you to tell me if I'm neurotic.
Yeah.
I was in the grocery store yesterday, and this is the first time.
Away from me.
This was the first time I went full send on this.
Yeah.
I've always done it a little, okay? With the bananas, I'm like, 59 cents regular, 69 organic.
Right.
I'm getting just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll go organic, you know? And then I'm like, apples, they've got a wrapper built in. We'll get those. But yesterday, for the first time, I was like, if organic's more because they really don't have pesticides on them, which seeps into the food, and then I eat pesticides and I give pesticides to my kids, I have to get all organic, and it has to be like a law in my life. And that's what food costs now. It's not expensive food. It's just food costs this and chemicals cost that. Am I neurotic because...
No, I mean, can I just throw a few cents in? I think it's different for everybody. I've had to get... I've had to be smart about it because my brain is altruistic. It's a brain that says organic is the best. So it's the only thing. But then I wouldn't be able to feed my children adequately, right? Because I have a tribe and...
You have to get less food, you
no,
mean?
No, yeah, I would have to get less food if I was going to do
and
organic.
You would have to get less veggies overall. And is that better?
So basically I choose. Greens are going to be organic no matter what. I will always choose organic. If I'm going to go to a restaurant, yes, and have a salad, that's fine. I'm not going to freak out about it. But if I buy it, it's definitely going to be organic.
Let's say why.
Apples?
Why?
Yes,
dirty
organic.
And all that stuff.
Because I like to eat a peel of an apple, right? Banana? Okay. No, I'm just going to buy regular bananas because you're going to peel that thick skin off of it.
Okay.
If I'm going to buy coconut oil, I'm just going to buy regular. Why? Because that big, huge, giant husk.
You don't buy organic virgin coconut oil?
It's virgin. I don't know. There are some that are organic and they're like $5 more. And I'm like, why? I'll save that so I can buy my organic apples. You know, grapes, I'm going to buy organic because...
Thin skin,
things like that. But I don't buy everything organic because I think that I would be limiting vegetables to my family. And so I pray over a lot of stuff.
I think it's better to eat more veggies, even if they're not organic, than less what they are.
My teenage boys need a good 4 to 6 eggs every morning.
Yeah.
And so I can't, if we've got our own chickens now, that's great. But a few months back, our dogs ate all of our chickens. So we had to go back.
But yeah, I wonder what the months
are. Why am I snickering?
My point being is I do grass-fed, like pastured eggs for my toddlers and my husband and I because we eat a normal amount of eggs. But the teenage boys, I buy regular eggs for them because they need them to grow strong.
No, you buy God bless ones from Aldi's.
Yeah, the Aldi's. It has a scripture verse when you open up. So,
so it's all
like,
fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, there's no actual.
Actually,
like,
those eggs are pretty good. They've got yellower, more orangey center.
We know a lot of purist families who are really, really skinny and their teenage boys could put some girth on. And it's because they only allowed 1 point something eggs each per day, you know?
Because they're going full organic.
Yeah.
Here's what I think, though. If you can swing it, I like to do organic whenever I can. But sometimes it's like, well...
But it comes down to price.
Okay, so yes, I'd rather do blueberries, but I want blueberries every day and I can't afford organic
every day. You know blueberries aren't sprayed.
I probably can, but I just...
That's what I'm kind of getting
to. They're fertilized, but they're not sprayed. So maybe the fertilizer that they put on...
Well, that's what I told Autumn. They're not sprayed. Blueberries are fine. And then she showed me. She said, Mum, no. They are sprayed. Serene's wrong. And so she showed me this study and said some blueberries are sprayed.
Well, the blueberry farm that we go pick from is not organic. And I said, well, why? He's like, well, we don't spray blueberries. Nothing comes for them.
Yeah. Well,
I'd rather eat blueberries every day than just then not eat them and only eat them a couple of times a week because I only want to do organic. Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder what the math really comes to, like per month extra, you know, and like, And not to be this guy, but at the same time, you know, I've got Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus and ESPN
Plus. For good food.
And they're bundled, okay? They're a bundled package, you know? You could get all three for $12.99 a month, you know?
You cut it.
Huh?
You cut it. That is hardcore.
Cut what?
You cut those. You don't have those streaming.
No, I've got them.
Oh. He's saying if he can do that, why can't he do it again?
No, I'm just saying I'll spend $200 a month on entertainment.
We see.
It's in some ways therapeutic, you know, but I'm just saying like, am I being neurotic?
No,
you know?
I don't think so. I think each to their own. Like, I want to have a lot of hospitality in my house. I want my children's friends to come over and not be like, I can't ask for a banana. You know, so I just buy bunches of the good old regular stuff and just pray over it.
No, she does. Okay. When you go to her house, buy bunches. I mean, there are 30, 40 bananas in a bowl.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to roll. So to me, it's still more expensive than $12.99 more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just going organic with all of that would be hundreds of dollars more. So I've made a choice to choose certain things that it will only be organic and then just pray
and
over
the
rest.
And if you've got a smaller family, like one or two children, I can see why. Maybe organic is what you do.
Oh,
but you have a medium to large fam. You've got a foursies.
Yeah, we have a total of six souls on board. Yeah. But still, I'm sort of testing it out. I want to see if we go broke and have
to
go live in a tent. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to go
work it out. Hey, I wish that we could all go to organic because that way we'd be supporting it too. There's something about supporting organic farming.
Yeah, because it'll get cheaper if more. Yeah. As it gets bigger.
I've got something to say, kind of little. I really needed to flush it out. I had this idea and I wanted to flush it out, but I didn't get a chance to flush it out. Because I don't know if you'd listened to last week's. Are they going in order, John? Producer John, our potties? Will Pearl's Book Club be the one? You heard about my UTI? Well, we're recording this the same day. And
same clues.
Yeah, I just was feeling too ratty to kind of work this potty up. So you're just going to get us on the fly about this stuff. But I had this idea.
I'm just going to put some lipstick on because I ate your bread.
It's the idea is based of kind of like a personal thing. I feel like whatever I learn, I will be able to retell somebody. And it's kind of the way I love to learn. I love to learn slow. Like, I love to read slow. It'll take me a good month sometime to get through a book because I'm not going to move on to the next sentence till I understand the sentence before.
Yeah.
You know, and oftentimes then comes understanding, comes musing. Then I'll sit and I'll stare and I'll think about the whole concept and how it applies to something else. You know,
do you do the same with like story style books or just teaching style books?
Teaching.
Okay.
Teaching style books.
Because I sometimes do that with stories.
With stories oftentimes with stories because I really want to understand their emotion and make sure I kind of got their motive too, you know. So
I do it because I rabbit trail off in my brain, and my eyes will go through words, but I will not be reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'll be like, I didn't read that.
I typically read books fast, as I can. But you retain more out of them. I've noticed that.
But anyway, I've been thinking about it, and I was listening to something this morning, not even on the subject of learning, and it was actually just a devotional by Graham Cook. Yeah. I get his podcasts and I love Graham Cook. And he was just talking about, he just mentioned it. He just said, slow learning is great learning. And I'm like, I love that line. And it kind of goes with the fact that I really put emphasis on slow when it comes to learning for me. And I really don't care how long it takes for me to get something because I want to keep that something, right? I want to be able to share that something. And if I don't take slow, I won't be able to reshare.
Well, and the other way is because when I read something or learn it, I do it fast, but then I have to go back. So they say, right, and slow learning is great learning because you're retaining more because the average person has to re-look at something or restudy it or reread it six times before they get it. So maybe if we just go slower, I went slower, maybe I wouldn't have to go the other five
times. And this is another funny, interesting thing. We were at our parents' house the other day and we were having a conversation about people who listen to podcasts, the learning podcasts, when they're learning something and they'll speed it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, I couldn't do that because I'm always thinking of the sentence behind the one that they're already saying because I'm not only listening to it and trying to put it in my brain, but I also try and use that information in other areas as they're teaching it.
I would like to know if you guys sometimes comment on the Facebook groups about our podcasts. I would like to know how many of you listen at like 1.5 or double speed or triple speed to us because that would be super annoying, wouldn't it? The three of us on steroids talking over one another three times the pace.
No wonder they'd hate
I don't think anyone could deal with that.
I don't think the brain is built to handle it.
So I told Pearl I want to do a party about slow learning is great learning. And I have a point. And first of all, let me just say the point and then we'll say all this information. And then we'll go to the point again at the end and round it up. But the point is so many people think I'm not great at Trim Healthy Mama. at Trim Healthy, the plan. I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. It's taken me a long time to get it. I thought I'd be able to understand it after just reading the book through once, or, you know, just get it within a week, but I can't. I just don't get it. And I'm here to say that is so awesome that you don't get it, because the things that you learn slowly, you will retain, and you'll even be able to teach other people. You don't have to be a fast learner at your health journey to really get truth that's going to set you free. So Serena, that's the point.
And let me butt in to say that, because recently we put out our Protein Nerd Party, you know, and we kind of put it out in parts and little bits. Why? We were learning it ourselves.
Yes.
And it took us a full year, really year and a half, to start to really get this information settled into our hearts. We couldn't have gone and learned about this new things about protein, then the next day given you a full podcast. We didn't have that information. Yeah.
Exactly.
I bought the protein because of that podcast.
Did you?
Well, I've been just delaying. I've been wanting it. But
the optimized plant protein.
But because there's the optimized sticker.
Yeah.
Okay. Could I just ask a quick question about the protein? I didn't realize this. I guess I missed it if you said it, but it's 15 grams of protein on the back.
16, yep.
16, but it says like the equivalent of 48 bio something.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? And why and what's
going
on?
That is kind of not 5 minutes.
No, okay.
But it's a good question.
Is there a two-sentence explanation?
No, but we will answer it.
Give me a yes or no. I'm working out.
Yeah.
And they're like, and I want to get 30 grams of protein. Yeah, but there's only 15 on the back of the bag.
16, yeah.
16.
You can count it as 48.
Yes.
That's it.
Your body, your muscles use it like 48 grams of protein.
But can I tell you something? I would choose our optimized whey when it comes out over the plant for post-workout. If you want to be geeky and nerdy.
Okay.
If you only have one type of protein and it's the optimized plant, great. It can work wonderful after a workout because it does have the trigger leucine that triggers muscle synthesis. It has the other essential amino acids that's going to help be the little minions on the job and build that muscle tissue from that trigger telling them to do it. Yes, it's all there. But it's just that whey is even more
Well, you're just getting
speedy,
the double.
Which you need after post-workout.
But I don't mind at all. I don't mind. The optimized plant protein helps me in many meals get that leucine.
Yes.
But after a workout, I don't mind using it. Serene's right that if you do essential amino acids straight or with whey, it is actually kind of more
on steroids.
It's like steroids for your post-workout if you're really geeking out. But optimized plant protein is fantastic after workout.
Are dairy sensitive people going to be okay?
Yeah,
with
that's
the
what I'm saying. For dairy sensitive, you're going to be
some dairy sensitive are fine on the whey because it's isolate.
Okay,
and it doesn't have any of the lactose in it.
Oh,
but
nice.
People that are extremely sensitive,
Like not a drop of dairy.
Yeah, then they can do the optimized plant. And I want to say why? Why about this equivalence? Let me just give you a few examples to help.
I'm sorry I took us.
No, but you know, talking about chemotherapy. So we had to talk about chemotherapy when we talk about plant supplementation, right? Plant protein. But it's a good example. And I know this because my son, you know, he battled Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's a total victor. He's brilliant. He's healed today. But we looked into lots of different types of chemo, and there is a way of doing chemotherapy that's called a IPT, insulin potentiated therapy. Okay. So they take only 10% of the dose of chemotherapy, and they do it with insulin, right? With a little bit of a sugar, kind of substance in there with the IV. And so the cancer cells have more, you know, glucose receptors than regular cells.
So it's more bioavailable.
And so they only need 10%.
You
like the 16 grams of protein, right?
Right,
but
right.
It's 100% to cancer cells.
Are they doing
but
this in the US?
But I don't know if that's a very good example, because insulin potentiated therapy is good for certain cancers, not others. So it's not a broad paint.
I'm not talking about oncology and cancer on a whole. I'm saying some things you can use less, but they can be potentiated. So we've potentiated those 16 grams of protein. We've potentiated them with certain trigger amino acids and also certain proprietary ingredients that help flush them into the muscle cells. So we've potentiated 16 grams so it has a bioavailability of 48. Like IPT, it potentiates 10% to make it 100% to a cancer cell.
Wow. It's kind of like black pepper does with certain supplements. Do you see Bioperine on supplements. If you see bioperine, that means black pepper. That means it's gone in to take whatever is that supplement.
Not normal black pepper, but the extract of black pepper.
The extract and make it so much more bioavailable in your body.
I see it in mushroom supplements.
Yeah, and also turmeric, or however they say it here in America.
Yeah, so that's that. Go back to what you're doing.
Got it.
Okay, so I'm like, slow learning is great learning. I love it. So I looked up on the internet.
Rabbit trail.
No, literally, the topic was slow learning. And then we like went speed, like the most speedy lesson about bioequivalent. And then she went, so back to slow learning.
That is funny. There might be some learning you need to do on the run. Okay, right? So that's fine. But
hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
I looked up on the internet, and so some of this is not in my own words because I was feeling so nauseated from the antibiotics I'm taking for this UTI that I just thought, let me just put this information down quick. And so this is some of the things I found on the internet. The secret to retaining 90% of information is slow learning. When it comes to knowledge acquisition, faster is not always better. Most people these days forget almost everything they learn. The average person, modern person, retains only 10% of what they learn in a year.
That's why you jolly retain stuff. Your slowness.
Well, I know it's slow. What you learn slowly sticks. And then I got sick of writing it long haul. and I
did a fast thing.
You did a copy and pasted. Okay, in his book, Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman says, intelligence is not only the ability to reason. Intelligence is also the ability to find relevant material in the memory. What's the point of learning if you can't use it later in life or apply it when it matters most? You have to learn in a way that makes it stick. Learning and understanding are two different things. Many people confuse the two and think they need to be fast learners. If your aim is knowledge retention, it pays to slow down. And I've got some great information for anyone ADD, Dan, as we go along.
Huh?
In reality, slow learners have found that when they learn at a slower pace, they retain information better. They think through ideas better, which enhances retention. And that's what I find too. When I slowly go through stuff, actually, Pearl, it wasn't that I was geared naturally to slow learning. I think I just stumbled across slow learning.
Really?
Because I felt like I wanted to learn so that I could bring it to other people. And to do that, I found like I had to...
Yes.
I had to think about the one sentence and actually understand. And that's what we've had to do too, Pearl, when we study science and research out there. It sounds like Russian in the study, but you kind of have to think, what are they saying? Let's break it apart. Let's disassemble it and put it back together in our brain. I'm always disassembling and putting it back together.
Yes, you are, and you're very good at... My issue is I get so excited about knowledge, like, you know, I got a new book.
Yes.
I get so excited. I'm like, speed read. Give me food now.
And I think
more,
that's fantastic.
Chomp it. And then.
But
and
like you said, you go
I
back.
I have to
and
go back. Fine. I don't retain it all. Yeah.
I think that's fine as long as there is a time when you do slowly.
Yeah.
Because you're noticing it. This is fun for the like, open the Christmas stocking. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do it fast. But you realize if you're going to retain it, you're going to have to go slow at a certain point. And you do. Yeah. And that's great. But I really want to continue reading just a couple of these little things here. Slowness of thought is not necessarily a handicap, but could be a signature of optimal brain function, according to research on the rediscovery of slowness. Learning slowly may actually be worth your time. If you slow down, you will retain more and enjoy the process of learning. And this doctor says, I use slow learning to read great nonfiction books and learn new skills. I make notes. Pearl, you are a slow learner. Highlight ideas, underline important insights. There's not one book Pearl reads that is nonfiction without it being absolutely underlined. And
okay, so
she can't read without a pen. In fact, you said to me, where's a pen? I'm like, why do you need a pen? I can't read without a pen.
I don't know how to read without a pen.
It's a reading tool.
And I feel like I love my books when I dog-ear them.
Show us the edge because that it's fully... You've dog-eared every page. It's the same as not dog-earing any.
This is just, you know, you have to because you... I mean, that's what I do. This is my love language to my book.
You ever seen
I would hate a book if I didn't touch it and mess with it and wreck it and put my...
I know.
You ever seen people's Bibles and like every word is highlighted?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, it's the same as highlighting no words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's true.
I know, but I have to do it. I have to do it. My Bible is absolutely crazy and I hate everybody else's Bible because it's not mine.
It's dirty.
Yeah,
my dirty Bibles.
Oh, yeah. Man. I finally... And it's just finally gone to the Bible on my phone. I had to give it because
Don't do it, Pearl.
No, I had to walk around with glasses.
And that was annoying.
And then I wouldn't
I wouldn't get
my reading done in the morning because I was too lazy to go find my glasses.
Yeah.
So now I just pull out my phone and I read there and it's
full
been
grandma mode.
Yeah.
When you slow down to read a book or learn something new, you rarely miss valuable knowledge. Slow learners rarely repeat the process several times in the future. Your learning is likely to lead to mastery if you learn to slow down.
Yeah.
And then let me see what else I wrote. I quickly copied and pasted. Try the slow and short burst approach if you want to become wiser over time. Take your time, take notes, and allow your brain to accumulate wisdom slowly. Done effectively, slow learning can help you focus better, understand more, and stack knowledge for life. It's a better approach to move knowledge from your working memory to your long-term memory bank. And how do you do that? Slow.
Okay, I'm convinced.
Yes. And I mean, I don't know if I want to keep reading.
No, you don't need to. We're convinced. Now tell us how it applies.
But this is interesting. I want to read this.
Hurry up and tell us.
This one doctor says, how often have we heard someone say she's a fast learner, implying that they're...
You can't on a potty say this one doctor. What's her jolly name?
Well, I'm going to read it down here. I don't even know if I copied and pasted that. Oh, Parisa Rouhani.
Okay.
Okay. She said, you know, how often does you've heard that statement? She's a fast learner, implying their statement that faster means smarter. But after Parisa Rouhani, MD Dr. Parisa Rouhani, she's been studying how the brain learns. She was thinking that assumption that smart means, oh, they pick it up fast, was wrong. And so she tested it out on a group of ninth graders for her discussion. And she recently spoke her findings out of this.
Good job. You're doing great.
I'm brilliant at this copy and paste. Anyway, she found out that it was a myth and that that speed does not predict ability. Yeah. Students who progressed through the course more quickly did not necessarily perform better. And so just because you may not be picking up this trim healthy journey fast, I want to bring it back to that. Just because you're like, I just don't really get it, girls. I don't understand. It's okay. You are going to understand it.
And
it's
okay.
Get there.
Like, let's just say you got the book and you, one of our books, and you kind of sped read it. You needed the information, like, just fix me, help me, you know. Yeah. And so you're going through it. I'm going to read this. And you didn't get it. It didn't really like sink into your heart, mind, and soul. I think it's okay, even if you didn't do the slow trick, to go back and redo it. Because either whether it's returning six times or reading it slowly and actually getting it, the main thing is getting it.
But the thing is when you say returning six times, those times are obviously going to be slower because you're like, okay, this is when I'm going to slow down. But I think it is okay to just open up that Christmas present fast and rip the wrapping off. I think that's okay. And I do that from time to time. Yeah. Where like I'll speed ahead and I'll skip four chapters and everything just in the opening.
Yeah.
But when I sit down to actually use the gift, use the present that I've opened, you're going to have to do it slowly.
And we learn in so many different ways. Like sometimes we can read something, but it's not until we do practical life application that it cements inside ourselves.
So and I want to talk about that practical, how slow is fantastic with that. And I love that verse in the Bible. Like where is it? It's Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter.
That is your favorite verse.
And shines more and more into the perfect day. And I often think to myself, it's a natural instinct to think failure when I anecdotally experience like something I should have known already. Like when I eat past full, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, I learned last time that I get this awful stomach ache that lasts for the rest of the day. Like, why didn't I remember that? Maybe I'm a slow learner in this and I feel such a failure. It's okay. It's okay. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. I have more data now. In my brain, I have a new study that tells me I definitely get a stomach ache after eating past full. That's brilliant. More data means the knowledge is more cemented. So if you feel like you're a failure in your Trim Healthy journey, that you're so slow on it, like getting your grips around it and getting your steady feet, that's okay. You're collecting more data of information that's cementing the truth of the information in your head. So it's okay, like Pearl said, it's not just reading knowledge. It's also experiencing knowledge. If you've experienced a lot of failure in Trim Healthy Mama, you have learned a lot too.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
Great.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's really
I learned
good.
So much through what doesn't work as to what does. I mean, so many things. I mean, the reason why I went on hormones in the end was because, I mean, I tried so many other things for my hot flashes or for all what I was going through. And I realized in the end, they're not bioidentical hormones. They might be this supplement and this black cohosh and this, you know, plant steroid or whatever. It wasn't my natural hormone.
And you have a lot of anecdotal data now to share with the world and say, this is what happened. And it cemented the truth of why you love bioidentical hormones so much now.
It's why.
Because you've
my
got
so
much.
Yes.
You've got a foundation in there that's stronger. Because your path may have been slower.
Yeah.
But boy, have you learned.
Yeah.
You learned the lesson.
I always say to you, Serene, well, I wish that I'd gone, you know, I said last party, I wish I'd gone on hormones sooner and I wouldn't have had my word recall loss and I wouldn't have, you know, lost muscle mass and I had to get it all back and all those things. But part of me loves that I had to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Because it got me researching and it got me once I restored them, it got me so passionate because without experience hardships, sometimes if you just go and you never experience like the hardship of something, you don't have the appreciation for what good feels like.
Yes.
And when I went through menopause, for me, it was very hard. Some women just sailed through. It was very hard on my body. Mm. I was what you call a super hot flasher.
Can I just interrupt there that just if you don't have a hard time going through menopause doesn't mean you don't come out the other side tanked.
No, it doesn't mean that.
And that tanked is not protective.
You don't feel it as much. I felt it. Oh, my goodness. But because I sunk that low, when I got back, I was like, oh, my goodness, this feeling, you know? And it's like, I don't know. It's when someone
else
has to.
You'll never take it for granted.
No. It's like when you don't have a bathroom or something mm-hmm. that you just usually have and you're like on a bus somewhere and all you long for is just your bathroom,
just
right?
Just a padded toilet seat
and
with a bidet.
And it's toilet, like a private toilet.
Talking about bathroom.
And then you finally get one and you're like, I will never, ever, ever, ever take a bathroom for granted again.
I will watch movies on this toilet.
It's like peeing is the best thing that's ever happened to me since the IUT is finally going away.
UTI.
So grateful.
UTI, whatever.
Just a pee,
it's the first one in my life, so I can't even say it right. UTI. Oh, no. And we were watching a movie last night because I was feeling so sick. I couldn't even, when I came home from that appointment that we had, you know, that business meeting, because I couldn't even concentrate, I couldn't even take a shower. I couldn't even eat. I couldn't even lay on the bed properly. I was trying to get in comfortable positions, nothing. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't even have the energy to read or talk to my family. Just put a movie. I asked them to put a movie on for me. I was actually watching The Scarlet and the Duke, Pearl.
Oh, yeah. That's a show. It's not a movie.
Okay,
it's a
whatever.
Show that Meadow got me onto. It's on. It's a BBC. No,
it's
BBC.
A little bit of a mystery movie.
Sounds
I don't love
like
everything
BBC.
About it. But anyway.
This Scarlet and the Duke, it's great.
This private detective had like chained this guy to the bed, like, you know, because he was a criminal.
One.
The family was laughing at me because I was like, what happens if he needs to go to the bathroom? I couldn't handle him chained to the bed. I'm like, but he might need to go pee. And they're like, why are you going on about that? But I had this constant desperate feeling to go pee as I was watching it. And I'm like, but it's terrible. They need to unchain him and let him go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll never take peeing for granted. I love peeing.
Peeing's great.
And exactly. So, you know, all that is coming relating to this learning slow. It took me several years, you know, to figure out, no, actually, Pearl, you do need to restore your hormones back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wishy-washy about that way and trying other things. But I'm kind of glad that I hit the hard knocks through it. And I'm kind of glad I missed the boat at the beginning and did all those because now
you've
got
a PhD in this thing.
I'm so appreciative now and I'm so well-versed in it. Yeah.
Yes, you're well-versed.
It got me there. And so some of you, what Serene's saying is, you know, you kind of mess up at first and you don't get Trim Healthy Mama quickly like the others. But your hard knocks and your mistakes and those things you're going through just make you so much stronger and PhD in the end.
Right, you're the one to be a coach.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one to really understand. Like, I had no compassion for you. Is it UTI?
Yeah.
No compassion. It's like, I've heard someone, so-and-so's got a UTI. Okay, yes, let's bless pray them, for Lord. Them. Bless them, Lord. I didn't even put thought or heart into it. Like, what are they going on about? You know? A little pain while they pee, big whoop. I have a new understanding of UTIs. Like, I just got training in it yesterday. Yeah. Like, massive training. Like, I've got knowledge I did not have.
Can you still see the toilet paper roll in your mind that you messed up with?
Yeah.
Can you still see it? And is it now like has like monstrosities like,
all like the bacteria germs, reaching the bacteria. Off?
You know, I've learned you don't use toilet paper rolls, the cardboard part, to wipe with. I've learned that.
We learned that around the age of 3.
But guess what?
Yeah. Just so you know.
It took a hard knock to learn it, right?
Yeah. But you got it down now,
but
right?
Why is that book verse? Why is that verse my favorite? Do you want me to tell you the secret reason why that verse, the path of the righteous, shines bright and brighter?
Yeah,
because that's what I've replaced condemnation with.
Oh, I love
whenever
that.
Whenever I'm like, got the thought, Serene, you big old failure, you never learn.
Yeah.
Do you know what my brain comes back with? Oh, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. My path's brighter now. I've got new knowledge.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Because of that failure yesterday,
yeah,
I'm stronger in that area because I have more data. Thanks, Lord. The path of the righteous shines brighter. It's my replacement. So I say it 5 or 6 times a day. Because I'm a human, you know, and there's things I'm working on. So one of it's holding my tongue. I'm a Campbell by my maiden name. Campbell means crooked mouth. We're a whole bunch of loud mouths if you haven't noticed. Like we just say a bunch of stuff. We don't filter it.
My
comes
family
out.
Yells too. I it's something about like just coming from ancestors from another country. I guess everybody's ancestors are from another country. But like my people are yellers. And they yell into the night. Like the girls will be asleep and my sons and their friends are over. Like we have people over every night now that we moved into town.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like a party house and everyone is sharing and everyone has a word to say.
That's cool,
and they're all just yelling it. And the only way, if you're going to be heard, you have to yell over the top.
We grew up like that.
And it never stops. Like each hour, it's a louder volume because your ears get adjusted. You ever play music and it's like, ooh, this is loud, but then you're grooving. You're like, who turned the volume down? No one did. You got deafer.
Yeah.
That's what's happening at the Valdez house. Yeah. We're deafer into the night and we're yelling, but it's fun.
It's so true. Like I fail, like for years, I was a very slow learner with holding my tongue. Some people are just born with the knowledge. It's better to hold your tongue. You'll regret it. You'll regret what you say. They're just born knowing. That's great. But I've been a slow learner. 46 years. Of a lot of anecdotal information, a lot of data's in there, the pain, the having to go back and say sorry, and then it never really is fixed, all of the situations.
No, and no one forgets and it, I'm and they hold it still, for the rest of your life.
And I'm still learning to hold my tongue.
Me too, because I'm willing, I'm bold enough to like even say stuff to my wife. I know she'll ask something or say something, and the right husband response is like, not at all. But like out of my mouth, I'm bold enough. And I'm like, yes, that exactly. And I don't regret it.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like, just know me as I, you know what I mean? Like I want to be like, I got to be fully honest or whatever. And that's
fully
not always
honest
wise.
Is, no, not always no. wise.
It's not all, but I tell you what though, I feel like I'm really versed in a whole education about holding your tongue. Like to the ones that comes natural to, They may not know the full PhD of it. Like I know the full PhD of it. Now I may not be expert in it yet, but I'm telling you, I could write a book.
Yes.
On holding your tongue and the reasons why.
Yes.
You're getting good. You're much better than you used to be.
I'm much better than I used to be.
Up the other day.
What did I say to you?
I was starting to kick you. Yes. We had that appointment with a particular doctor that we were talking to. And they started on a subject that this particular doctor didn't have, you know, certain, the same
beliefs on.
Beliefs
I think
on
she's
eating.
A vegan or something.
And I just went off. Serene just like schooled her, but why? And with this research study, and what do you think? And I'm like, we just met this woman. She's allowed to have, and then Serene's like, I ruined it, didn't I?
You
afterwards.
Go like full Russell Brand mode.
She's
you ever
like,
seen
why
him?
Did I do that?
Yeah.
You ever seen Russell Brand?
No, I had.
He'll come on like political shows. And he will say the most anti, like, not even like, it's not right or left. It's like full-blown anti-government conspiracy.
Yeah.
Like, talking about their jobs and the writers behind that. You're just reading the teleprompter. And he's like, and everybody knows it, mate. And so we're not helping the world when you do. I mean, and
is
they
he
try
Australian?
To. He's, English, yeah. And he talks over, like, the host of the show.
Oh, really?
And he takes the show over.
Oh.
And it's so fun. It is
look.
So fun to watch Russell Brand.
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Yeah, he's got his own podcast.
I'll have to look into it, but it won't take away that the knowledge that I've cemented in my head that – when I let go of that tongue, it's not a good deal. So like, so I'm not a natural fast learner of the situation. I would be the one to write the book. Yeah. So I'm trying to say,
people that are born with that natural instinct. Yeah.
That's where the books come
from. So I feel like if you're slow on your health journey and you feel like you haven't learned easy how to treat your body right, you know, if you haven't learned easy how to feed it the right things and how to think the right thoughts, that's okay. You're going to be the one to write the book. You'll have more knowledge than Pearl and I ever had on it because you'll have so much data. You'll have so much information and feedback loops on how this never works when you do it the wrong way, how it never works and how you feel and the consequences of it, blah-de-da-da-da.
You know, I think it's so true because the reason that I have learned to put my body in a peace state was because it wasn't in a peace state. You know, when I went through, I've talked here about, you know, the Meniere's disease thing I went through, and that is opposite to a peace state because it's your whole body going into, you spin 1,000 miles an hour. Like
fight or flight?
Yeah, fight or flight, but it's adrenaline pathways. It's all those things, and it's literally happening. It's physically happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But people that have never had to go through that never have to fight their way out of it.
Yeah.
And so I feel like, honestly, I feel like I have such strength with peace, yes, only because I had to go through something to give it to me. I would never have found it. I would never have found it.
But you had to fail too. You had to have a few episodes of going through where you didn't cling so hard to peace. You gave up halfway.
Yeah.
You jumped, you were gripping to peace and then you just let it go. And you had to learn that, okay, when I let it go, that's way more miserable than holding tight to peace. And then so it's like that data that you received from the failed times gave you strength
for the future. And now I feel like, man, thank God. I mean, I learned so much through that, through the hard times and through being a failure and through going through, you know, the lows of it all.
So gals, I got something to share on this, but we've got to take a break to pay the bills.
Trim Healthy Mama, product news and notes.
Going to talk about that Trim Healthy pizza crust mix.
Yeah, and Danny, we were saying this is actually something that you could manage, right?
It makes fast work for homemade pizza.
You know how
crust.
We have drive through Sue?
Yeah.
What are you, a drive through dude?
I tell you what, this, can you imagine
drive through brew?
People, imagine a pizza crust that's actually healthy. I mean, most pre-packaged mixes or pre-made pizza crust are filled with shiesty stuff.
Yeah.
Not ours.
Even
not
if they say gluten-free, right? You're going to have spiking grain ingredients there. Even though it's not gluten, it will spike your blood sugar and it will affect your waistline.
Is this like a big disc you're going to ship?
It's a mix, Danny. But then it just has a little direction on the back to tell you what you can add. Things that are found in your cupboard anyway.
All it is egg whites and water.
And guess what?
Okay.
And a little bit of oil if you want to.
This thing is so delicious. But let me tell you, it's filled with protein. It's filled with fiber. This has psyllium seed husk in it and all this fiber stuff that your children would never know were in it. It's low in carbs so that you can actually put your cheese on top and not like destroy your waistline.
And protein, did you say that?
I said protein.
Because most of the time when you think about pizza, right, you have a little meat on the top. Well, most people have a little meat on their pizza. But it's not near enough to get the protein you need for a meal. And then because of the crust. The crust is just white, flour, devitalized stuff that actually ignites your blood sugar. But now in this crust, we actually have good protein. Then you put your meat on top. Then you've got a solid balance.
So you could have a pizza as like a balanced meal.
It is. And you know
it's
what?
It's like the first pizza.
It's got fiber in it. It's amazing. It's got micronutrients in it. It's got resistant starch in it, which is so great for your gut. Like the lupin flour is the first ingredient. That's a superfood.
But Serene, who cares, right, if it's difficult? I'm like the quintessential drive-thru Sue. And so a lot of like the from scratch pizza crust we've even put in our books.
Oh, they were difficult.
Still too much for me. But this I do because it's easy and it makes healthy pizza.
Because you're adding water and egg whites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Does it make a medium, large, or
is it? It's an individual crust.
Okay.
So, which is a big serving for a person like I like to
volume. The one bag makes one individual.
No, the one bag makes many individual.
So you could make a big family.
Yeah, you can.
Nice.
Can you imagine? Let me just reinvent this for you. Most people like families. Pizza is it's like gathering around the fire. You gather around the pizza, right?
Yeah, you gather it. Yeah.
But guess what? It's gathering around family poison. Pizza destroys the health of families across
I know
the
it's
world.
Sad, and that sounds like we're big zealots, but it's no, just it does. The truth.
Pizza is like the worst thing as far as for health. It's like clogging white, devitalized crust with shiests in it. And then you're going to have the drippy, ooey, gooey fat that can't be metabolized properly because of that white carb crust.
It's a bunch of shiest and fat.
Yeah. Yeah. So now
that's like a Brit, but it's a shite in there.
So snip open a bag tonight, roll out a new world of pizza that is both practical yet pampering to your health needs. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Some of our like foundational beliefs, like we've always said the phrase, life is short.
Yes.
Life is eternal.
Mm.
Life isn't short.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking about how it's so convenient that we find ourselves in the present moment. You know, we're all, you know, and this sounds like, what's the big deal with this? But you think about this, like, have you noticed you're always in the present moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you noticed you just happen to always be, no matter what, you're in the present moment. Mm-hmm. And
but sometimes we're not really in.
We're not in, but see, we almost have this idea that there's these billions of years of eternity, and yet we find ourselves in this weird sliver called planet Earth. And it seems more probable that we're just always alive. Like even from a non-religious, like I talk about this with people who are like, I don't want anything to do with any sort of religious belief. Just what's real, like what might be like after we die or whatever. I just find it fascinating that we're here in the now talking about such things. Like it's highly improbable that we would go to blackness.
Hey, did you, when you were a little kid, because I wonder if people think about these, you know, okay, so religion aside, right? But when you were a little child, because I always had these thoughts, you know, I'm living, I'm here. But I would have these thoughts like, but what is, you know, I am here, but what happens if I'm not here?
Yeah, where is elsewhere?
Where is elsewhere? And are the people really here? And all these like big,
did you
grand,
have
used
these
huge
thoughts that you were the only one alive and everybody else was was like actors?
Yeah, I've had those thoughts when I was little too. But all those thoughts, yeah, I mean, I used to have them, especially, did you have them when you were, like grand thoughts like that when you were a child?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wondering if everyone has those though.
Well,
I think so. My children all have at different times. They come to me with all this weird stuff.
Mikey, yeah. I'm going to ask the camera guys, have you always had like large thoughts like that? Like, okay, I am here, but what is other than here? Like, yeah. It's a human thing then.
Yeah. I think it's common to people. And because American life, I can speak for American life, it sort of militates against that type of thinking. Like, even as I say it now, I'm sort of wondering, like, if viewers are like, move on, like, move on. And it's like, but wait a minute, because at the foundation of us, whether it's flying through a book or believing we don't have time to read a book, mm-hmm. because we've got to get to things. And why are you trying to get to things? Because they'll be unattended. And it's like, well, what happens if they're unattended? And it's like, oh, fall apart, you know? And if you just keep asking that question, it can bring you back to, hey, you could actually spend the afternoon just tending a garden and you won't be wasting time.
No, I know. That's
because time is not short. That's the thing. There's this foundational belief that we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm proposing that we are ever more. We are in time eternity. I don't believe that we're running out of time or that life, we're approaching our death. Like, we get all nervous
and
about
even
death.
If we were, like, I believe that we are eternal souls or eternal, I totally agree, but let's just even say, just for this earth span, like, say, are we running out of time? Even if we are running out of time, we only have, which we are, we all only have a certain span here. I would propose, in Danny's words, that filling it up with the rush is the worst thing.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing if we only have a lot of time. The day spent in the garden, or the day with the grandies on the knees, or the time just saying, I'm going to take time for my spouse and we're just going to go off for a day or together or whatever.
Yeah.
That time I propose would be the most special thing, the thing that you would look back to at the end of days here on this earth thinking that made all of this worthwhile.
You know, I was so moved by something our sister Vange said the other night. We're at this little gathering and in her house, and it was like a THM gathering. Everyone brought a dish and we're just going around the room like just saying, you know, what's on our minds and hearts. And Vange said something so connected with me because this is my one thing that I struggle with. She's like, I have just been realizing that you do not have to feel the busy. Don't feel the busy. And that's what I've been telling myself, she said. Because Vange, like, she has a full-time business now as an organic gardener. You know, like, she's doing it for all the Richies out here, the Richie famousies.
Country music stuff. Nice.
And she's so busy because she still has children at home. She's got her grandchildren. And she's like, it's always the next thing. And I'm rushing from one place to the other. But she's like, and I've told myself, you don't live in a state like that, Vange. You don't feel the busy. You don't let your cells feel it. You just do one thing at a time and you be in the moment and you just feel the moment. And yes, life is busy. You've got stuff to do, but it's how you're doing it. And I realized I live in a state so many times where I feel the busy. It's my next thing I have to do. Or I can't even enjoy the moment because I'm this busy feeling that penetrates my cells. It's just there all day long. And it's like mild anxiety, I guess you could say, right? But it's my list. My list of things that I must accomplish. And then I realized, but I can accomplish things without feeling the busy.
Mm-hmm. And accomplish them better because you're clearer. You have less load on
you. So now I just throw it off. I'm not feeling the busy. I'm feeling the moment.
Yeah, well, and this is, to me, like the, like you can actually live in this sense with your perspective tuned rightly. You can live a perfect life. A life with like no regrets because things are not, there's not always these false finish lines that are always out of a grasp, you know, that you're just always trying to get to something. Like the I was up till like midnight doing dishes. Like everyone was asleep except my boys, of course. They're running around trying to make it by curfew because father says the law is important.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I was doing the dishes and I was just like, this is exactly my calling.
But you had to tell yourself that, or did you feel it because you told yourself so many times?
Yeah, I've for years have been trying to reprogram.
What if you're cutting it?
What if you're cutting it like that? That kind of the obstacle is the way.
Yeah.
That mentality. Mm-hmm. It's true. The obstacle is the way. The thing that you're just like, oh, if we could just get past the dishes, if I could just get through the chopping of like, I want eggs and I want green peppers in my eggs, but I don't want to chop the green peppers to put them in the eggs. And it's like the chopping of the green peppers is the same as offering incense up to God in worship. Like it is not less of a spiritual act.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Can I tell you something about this revelation? I haven't even told you this revelation.
What?
It's so fantastic. You know how I said like your strengths can be your weaknesses, and one of my strengths is like flushing out something too much.
Yeah.
And so I got this revelation for peace for my life, this big country of peace, and it was a gift from the Lord. But I kind of flushed it out too much, you know, and like I was constantly just like imagining peace, practicing peace. And this is great. It was what I was meant to do. It was a gift given to me to, because I was feeling this mild anxiety. And so I'd keep celebrating peace and it was great. I just feel like I just got stuck when there's other fruits of spirit for me, right? I need to spend time with joy and praise and thanksgiving and all of this kind of stuff. But then I rest in all these things now, and it's fantastic because then I don't overdo one thing, like don't play just one song over and over.
You were practicing peace, but practicing it too hard.
So peace became just like a broken record, right? So anyway, but I got this new thing. So I rest in peace, and that comes, and it's a beautiful place that I go to. Then I rest in you know, worship. And this comes up, it's just like a beautiful gift, a place that I go to instead of anxiety, right? But I got this new revelation, and it's like I rest in productivity, right?
Oh.
And so like I've got things to do, and often in time I'd have this anxiety playing in the background.
Yeah, it's feeling the busy.
And sometimes it was just, I don't know what it was. It was just anxiety. I don't even want to go there and work it out, but it was just a buzz.
Yeah.
And it was a buzz distracting me.
Yeah.
And now another thing, instead of just resting peace, I say, I've been given productivity as a place to rest.
Ooh, I love
so yes. I just, I continue to write and I really get into it. And then I'm like, okay, it's time to clean my room. I'm resting in productivity. So I just buzz around my room and shaking out the sheets and taking all the pillowcases up and doing productivity. And I'm seeing it as a place of rest. And I mean, this is a gift given to me. Like, this is actually a place as grand as my big country of peace that I have been given to be.
Yes, to be.
Not to do, to be.
Let's go.
And like the scriptures in the Bible that says, you know, the people that were staying home and looking after the pots while they were all off at war, when the people came back from war with the victory, they had to halve the spoil with the people just that were cleaning out the pots, you know, the pot watches.
You're right.
And so it's a gift. Like it's a high calling to be a pot watcher. It's a high calling to rest in my bed making, to rest in productivity, whether that's chopping peppers or in the kitchen. And another place I've decided to rest to is creativity. It's a gift given to us. Creativity is a gift, right? Mm. And so oftentimes I'll be distracted in creativity, thinking of something that I have to go do or, you know, the list or just, I don't know, anxiety is playing in the back where you're creative. I'm like, I'm resting in this creativity.
You know, we really have to go because, but I do want to say, you know, our mom, I think she brought something beautiful to this world because, you know, our mom is, well, it's a story that happened to her. Because our mom was a missionary before she got married and she thought she was going to do great things like, you know, keep going around the world and saving all these children and building orphanages and doing all this. And then she got married and she had a baby and then she had twins 18 months later. So she had three children.
This was Vange and Rob.
Yeah. No, twins. She had Wesley and then Stephen and Vange, who were twins. And so one day she was just there and, you know, she'd had a sleepless night and she had three babies and she was, she used to call them nappies and that's the diapers. And she was putting them through this old Ringer washing machine and the old thing broke and she hit it. And then she cried out to God and she said, I'm sorry, I'm out of your will. I'm wasting my life. Mom thought that getting married and having these babies, she wasn't doing anything, accomplish anything. And then, you know, and then she felt that's what changed her life and started her on a ministry. And she felt God saying, you're right where you're supposed to be. And then she started this whole ministry of, you know, encouraging women in the home. And
above Rubies.
Yes, above Rubies. Of talking
that
about
was the moment of conception right of there when she was banging the old Ringer washing machine.
Yes, that was
machine.
It. That's what started it. Thought that she was doing nothing and she realized the things she was doing, just things like doing dishes, changing diapers, wiping up after children, putting them to sleep, the mundane things that nobody sees. No one could see her in her home. It was accounted as nothing.
That's
and back
too
then,
good.
You know, it was like, women's movement was starting and it was all like, you know, we don't have to be at home anymore. We can go out. And she felt that.
Yeah.
She's like, but I can go now and I can do great things. And then she realized, but this is great. This might be the greatest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, we grew up with that as a mother. I never had anxiety that I had to do more because I knew it was so fantastic.
Really
when I changed a diaper, I could rest in it.
Yeah.
I had this powerful sense of, even though this is little, it's so huge.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, we're just coming into more and more of that, like doing dishes, like you found last night, Danny.
It's really the secret of life.
Yes.
If your eye is right, your whole body will be full of life.
I don't even know if I explained it before, but it's like the revelation of peace was big. But do you know that the revelation of resting in productivity was actually just as big?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So now I don't even have any background noise. When right. I just have a job to do, it's like, no, this is a gift to do this job.
It
and
is.
I want you to be in it.
Oh, I
and
love it.
Important. I don't want you to do it. I want you to be in it.
It's an important work. Like, it's as important as a briefing to the president on some big serious matter. Like, we have movies about, like, the big guy in the suit comes in and everybody's like, oh, God. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Changing the world. Big events that affect humanity. This is global and huge. And it's like, I don't think heaven sees it that way. I think heaven looks down and sees a mother changing
true.
A diaper. Mm-hmm. And it goes, what? Here we go. Yeah. Another woman has to overcome an onslaught of world messages coming at her that she's not enough, that she needs to be doing more, that she needs to be out. And and if you're out and doing those things, that's your important work and that's good, right? Mm-hmm. But the onslaught hits the mom. That's what I see. Mm-hmm. The onslaught hits the mom. And the onslaught hits the dad.
It does.
Too. The onslaught hits the father that his frisbee time with the kids are delaying them being able to move to a new house, because after all, he's the provider, mm-hmm. you know, and it's his job to elevate us through, you know, bigger and bigger experiences. I always feel that as a dad, like I need to be funding these big experiences. And there's a time where I do that. That happens, right? But man, if that is like the end all be all, mm-hmm. you know, I want to make sure that I'm showing him how to chop green peppers into eggs.
Take the time.
But Danny, you know what? I have seen, as you've come here and you've shared your life and your heart on this party in the last, how many years, John? Over six years,
dang.
You know, and I've seen you grow. I have watched your determination and your investment into your family grow. I have watched it become
that path has gone bright.
I have watched it become your most important thing. I think our listeners have seen that. You know, you've always wanted to do great things, Danny, but you realized your greatest thing was your family. And
do you know
you
what I want to say?
Well, can I finish?
He needs to write the book.
Yeah, he does. But I was gonna say, with all that, Dan, you know, you never had the big house, but you decided anyway, no, my bigness is investing in my family. I mean, we've heard you say that so many times, but now God gave you the house,
mm-hmm.
but it was after you invested in the family. You know, mm-hmm. I'm so happy for you.
Yes.
You know, this blessing that you have, and you haven't shared it, but you're now living in a place that you always wanted to your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't because of anything you did. It was a gift.
Wasn't because you went out and moved and shaked more and left the children.
I believe it was
you
because you were there in the center of your family.
None of, as long as I was like pursuing that wrong side of my vision board, none of it was happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, I was forsaking my first call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like I just sort of went, that stuff's empty without family.
And back to the slow learning thing. It's not that he was slow learning, but it didn't come as natural to him because he had the five dads, right?
Yeah.
But he's the one that could write the book on fatherhood now, you see?
That's
because
right.
He's got so much data in there, so much information, so much that he's learnt the hard way. And through that path, just download from generation to generation, which is great. We're not knocking that.
Yeah, but you don't write the book.
But if you are the slow learner, that's okay. You've got the real, you've got the solid.
You got the PhD because you had to figure it out and you had to try. You did the family meetings. You got the counselors. You invested your everything. You invested your money in there. You invested your time. You invested your energy.
Almost lost everything 12 times. Watched the bank account go into literal red. I remember pumping gas. We had $42, $42 in like not too many years ago. Like this isn't like back in 72 when $42 bought you a month's worth of whatever, you know, this was like $42 bought you like a gas tank.
Yeah.
You know, I remember another year, it was negative $7.
Mm.
And,
I remember those years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just you keep pulling off miracles. You keep donating your blood.
John's looking at us.
Yeah, we got a PhD. We all got PhDs.
This is a slow party, right? Yeah, we're just here. We're being
John,
it. We're
just
being
slow
it.
Hey, we got PhDs. Pretty hard days.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
And then I'll be true nothing, mama.